Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, we're going to be speaking to the filmmakers of the film Who Does She Think She Is, which is opening at the Center for Contemporary Arts. Right now, I would like to welcome Linda Spear. She is the producer of the Galisteo Basin Photography Project, Endangered Culture, the Galisteo Basin as seen by 28 photographers, and that is opening tomorrow, January 23rd, from 5 to 7 at the Photo Eye Gallery. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Nice to be here.
Thank you. And I'd like to welcome Johnny McCoo, who's co-founder of Drilling Santa Fe and executive director of Common Ground United. Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you.
So this is all about a subject which probably most of our listeners have heard about, which is the potential for drilling for oil and or gas in the Galisteo Basin. You, Linda, have been involved with this whole set of questions and created this exhibition, which is opening tomorrow. How did you start to get involved with the whole question of drilling and its potential effects in this area?
I'm a resident, a lifelong resident of New Mexico in Santa Fe County, and I've been one of the community activists. I attended the Tecton meeting that was held in November of 2007, and the CEO, Mr. Dirk, stood up and was asked if they were successful, what would be the outcome for this area, and he said, well, there would be thousands of wells over the next 30 years, and that really got my attention.
Thousands of wells. Now, does that mean, you know, every 200 yards there would be a well? I mean, what does that actually look like?
At that point in time, I didn't know much, but given what I know now, 2-acre spacing is about right. He was referring also, I think, to the Rio Grande Rift Valley, where they have hundreds of thousands of acres leased on the West Mesa also.
What are some of the rules around actually mineral rights, oil and gas rights? So I own a piece of land, let's say. I own a ranch. I own 40 acres and a mule or 2,000 acres. Can Tecton or any other company come in and just say, okay, we're drilling right outside your patio?
Well, according to my understanding, once they pull a permit in the state of New Mexico, it's as if they own the surface land as well, and they can go on the way we had it a year ago without any zoning or protections for residents. They could go wherever they wanted and put in a well rig as long as it was a certain distance from house or water shed set by the state. We have what's called split estate in the West, where the mineral rights are severed from the surface rights, and it's a dominant interest under the law. So a company has the right to access minerals that are underneath someone's land, private land. And they also do it on national forests and on state land. And actually, I think Johnny can answer some of these questions better than I can.
Well, I agree with everything she said so far. The split estate is an issue. And as she pointed out, you have the private state and federal lands where some of those are severed. Now recently, Santa Fe County has adopted an ordinance that helps equate the rights of surface owners somewhat to the mineral owners. And so it's not so necessarily so dominant at this juncture.
Well, when two people, let's say they're equal, I say, I want to drill on your land. You say, I don't want you to drill on my land, and you're equal. Well, then what do you have a sword fight?
Well, now there's a permitting process, and that's really what's really critical about the Santa Fe County Ordinance. It's not just rules and regulations. It's a process, and you would have to come in and get an overlay zone to say, first, county, I'd like to be able to develop this area for oil and gas development. Then they would have to go to OCD to get a permit from
OCD, being
Oil Conservation Division of Mexico. And they would have to have hearings based on the special rulings or the special provisions that are being adopted as we speak at the Oil Conservation Division. Once they get that permit, well, they're not done. They'll have to go through multiple layers at the county where there'll be public participation. So not only would the landowner have to be notified, but or other organizations who would register, such as Drilling Santa Fe and Common Ground United, where we could participate in those hearings and present evidence as to why this not may not be such a good idea to just willy-nilly put a oil and gas well in.
Well, why would it not be such a good idea? I mean, there are a lot of issues, and they have to do with water, with pollution, with a number of other things.
Yes, human health and safety. You have wildlife, archaeological sites. Galisteo Basin is one of the richest archaeological sites in the United States. You have a wildlife corridor. Then you have multiple issues where, in certain areas of the county, communities have worked on their own codes, as it were. And certain things have been ruled out that were industrial. So now you're transforming a residential or an open space area that was designated as such into a dirty industrialized area. And so those are just some of the many facets, plus water, you know, like you just mentioned, that would need protection.
Let's talk about the photography project for a moment, because the photography project, which is opening at the Photo Eye Gallery here in Santa Fe on Garcia Street, by the way, tomorrow from 5 to 7, is called Endangered Culture. Now, we've heard a lot, and we will continue to hear more about the hazards, potential and real hazards of pollution, not to mention global warming, caused by oil and gas drilling. But this cultural aspect of it, specific to the Galisteo Basin, is huge, and that's what you gathered together some photographers to really look at.
Yes, well, you asked me how I got involved in this project, and I was involved as a resident running an email oil and gas alert list, and a photographer working on the coal issues in the Four Corners area named Carlin Tapp called me in March of this year and asked if I would be willing to produce this project. Because we're very concerned, as you said, the cultural artifacts, the traditional ways of life of northern New Mexico. We're talking about acequias and groundwater, the Galisteo River as a riparian habitat and wildlife corridor, all the people who live out there on the ranches, and the archaeological treasure trove that's out there. So it's ancient peoples and new meeting in today's day and age. And when the county and the state, and Governor Richardson stepped in and also put a moratorium on the area, so that we would have a chance, for the county would have a chance to create some protections and some zoning and these overlays areas, as Johnny referred to. But our whole way of life is threatened. New Mexico in general has a $5.1 billion tourist industry. Santa Fe County generates $1.1 billion of that prior to this year. And I mean, our world-class museums, our opera, our arts, all the talented, incredible people who live here, the real estate industry we have, it's all threatened should this area become a full-blown natural gas production field, which is, as Johnny said, it's filthy, it's toxic, and it poisons the water. And there's no answers of real answers of where waste goes and how to remediate any potable water that's in the ground. And the industry in general was exempted. I call it a rogue industry right now. It's been exempted from all federal oversight and regulation.
Is that right?
Yes, under former Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force exempted it in 2005 from Surface Water Runoff Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, Clean Air and Clean Water Acts, the Community Right to Know Act under the Homeland Security.
Good heavens.
Yep. And the problem with it is, in these kind of what they call in industry unconventional rock reservoirs in these types of geological basins, is a very tight, dense rock. And they come in with a technology that was developed by Halliburton in the 1940s called hydraulic fracking. And under high pressure, they inject a mixture of chemicals, water, and sand, which also could be silica dust, under high pressure, and it basically explodes the rock deep underground, and then they suck it back up and wash the hydrocarbons off of the rock. But the chemicals that are pumped in are toxic. It's hazardous material, and when it comes out of the ground, it's hazardous waste. It's euphemistically called produced water or salt water, and for instance, in the Otero Basin, Otero Mesa, where they're pumping or drilling, the state has mandated closed-loop systems so the waste can't become open to the air. But this was my main concern, was the water, and our life here depends on water. It's a gift from the creator of this creation, and it's what makes us able to live here.
So there have been laws on a county level. There has been the governor's moratorium. There is also an act known as Senate Bill 17, which has been introduced in the 2009 legislature, which would basically override any local or county legislation. Is that correct?
It's written and designed to give the World Conservation Division, which I mentioned earlier, the sole responsibility of regulation, thereby circumventing county authority. That's a slippery slope once you start going down that slope, due to the fact that it could radiate into other areas of local authority. For example, the city of Santa Fe is a home run city. Santa Fe County has codes and so forth for all sorts of development. And so this could start incrementally the state overriding local rule.
So if it were passed, and I imagine that this will be a hot topic bill during this session, if it were passed, then Santa Fe County couldn't say anything, no matter what was going on.
If it were passed, it just recently was introduced into a committee that's really not fully formed in the Senate side. I think that there would be so much opposition by other counties just because of the slippery slope component. What is very possible in this legislative session is industry is going to want to gut the budget of OCD to say, well, you know, we all need to pull back, and then we also need to roll back regulations so we can drill, baby drill, and get the tax revenues up. Someone told me that, and I haven't seen it, that in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, there was an ad talking about the severance tax and how great it was and how much they brought to the coffers. And so
the severance tax?
The severance tax is a tax that goes to the state. It's basically not too dissimilar from a property tax, where by a reported amount, and that's reported by industry, which is key, is when they say a certain amount of hydrocarbons pumped out, oil, gas, whatever, then a certain percentage of that revenue would then go to the state. And when you look at that part, what could go to the state, you have to keep in mind that doesn't mean it goes to the county. And in a sense, there's a kind of a Robin Hood thing that happens in the state of New Mexico, where the richer counties get less from the state and the poor counties get more, which is fine. But if you're coming into the Galisteo Basin and you're taking a unilateral approach for this marginal play, as Lydia was pointing out, on the unconventional recovery, that may not work out.
Even if you drill and put a drilling site on every couple of acres, you may not get much.
You might not get much. And it's such low pressure that you're going to have a lot of wells to get even on the best projections. And keep in mind that the projections are proprietary. They're only done by industry.
Right.
So there's no way for us to really know how valid those assumptions are. So here they come in, they start tearing up a lot of land, the water, the cultural sites, all for something that may not work out. Well, Santa Fe County could end up with zip. The state may not end up with anything, but you left behind a lot of destruction.
Now, let's talk for a few more minutes about the nature of that destruction. You, Linda Speer, were talking about the fracking, which is at Halliburton 19. I didn't even know this. It was invented by Halliburton in the 1940s, a technique that is very chemical intensive. We don't know exactly what those chemicals are because they're proprietary. Then they end up basically on our land, filtering into our drinking water, into our aquifers, and they don't have any responsibility for cleaning these up as the law stands now?
To the best of my knowledge, no.
At the federal level, they're exempted, and so it's hard to get into those issues. At the state level, there's been thousands of cases of contamination, which industry continues to deny even existed, even though it was reported by industry on self-reporting. It's hard to monitor. What the Oil Conservation Division did was adopt what's called the pit rule. and it only applies to 50 foot to groundwater. And the pit rule basically says you have to use closed loop. Where the waste is really toxic is when they go out and dig an open pit, and as they're creating the well, and that produced water with the chemicals come out into this open pit and then leaches down and pollutes soil and groundwater. So Mark Fesmeyer and the OCD have proposed and put forward a pit rule that went to closed loop to protect that those substances don't come out. Well, the industry, such as the New Mexico Oil and Gas Association, actually eventually agreed to it. Then for some reason, unbeknownst to anyone, all of a sudden, they went on the attack against the pit rule and started making false claims about how much damage that would do, how much that would slow down drilling. Really, the slowdown of drilling was due to a parabolic move in oil and gas prices, where it went from $18 a barrel up to 145 plus, 147, and down back in the mid-30s.
Right.
That kind of gyration is very difficult for any company, and most of the companies have pulled back on their drilling programs and have retracted, taking back their offer for leasing of minerals all around the country. And when you get back into the unconventional recovery we're talking about, its break-even is so much higher than conventional recovery.
So if laws and regulations were in place that really truly would ensure, for example, closed-loop systems and ensure that drilling, although unaesthetic, would not pollute, would it then become financially unfeasible for companies to drill in the first place?
It depends on, like you said, it depends on the price.
The price of gas and oil.
Yeah, it all depends on the price of the break even, and then the input costs. Now, really, when you look at the Santa Fe County Ordinance, really what you're talking about is a balancing of all the other resources, from your cultural to water. And some of these resources, for us in the Galisteo Basin and Santa Fe County, would argue, are priceless. They're irreplaceable. And so it's a... If you're going to take away some of these resources, you have to factor that in to the offset. And that's where industry always wants it unilateral. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the decrease in property values or the destruction of archaeological sites and so forth. They just want to talk about, well, this is how much goes in the state coffer that will then help with the budget, and that's it.
I think another factor that's worth talking about is how the quality of life, both in terms of, what would you call it, aesthetic factors, but also the economic quality of life, really can go down when there is this kind of drilling.
Absolutely. I think there's been a study done by an outfit up in Montana that in communities where extractive industry is emphasized, the quality of life and economic status quo of the people is lower than in communities such as our own, where surface life is normal.
Right, surface
normal
life.
Surface life. You know, last year when all this started happening, Santa Fe County was unprotected. And it's part of the impetus behind the photo project, because it was a very frightening time, actually. We did not know, you know, there was a huge rise in prices and demand for natural gas. And there are 300,000 operating gas wells in the west, and 100,000 of them are in New Mexico, basically up and down in the southeast corner and the northwest corner of New Mexico. So we had no idea if that was just going to explode here as an industrial presence. And we wanted to record in the photo project the quality of life that we have now. In New Mexico, northern New Mexico in particular, is famed for so many generations for its quality of light, the vistas, the clean air, you know, the secret spring that appears behind an outcropping of rock in the middle of the desert,
and all the things really that the artists of this area have made known to the rest of the world.
Absolutely, throughout the decades.
Speaking of which, let's talk about the artists from the Galisteo Basin Photography Project, Endangered Culture, which once again is going to be opening tomorrow from 5 to 7 at the Photo Eye Gallery on Garcia Street. You put together, you are one of them, you're a wonderful photographer, Linda Spear, and you've put together you and 27 other photographers viewing the Galisteo Basin, and some of it from private property where really not a lot of photography has been
done before.
Yes, that was part of the project early on, as we were a small core group that came together and wanted to do something to try and raise awareness of what could be lost here. And one of my roles, because of the email grassroots list that I do, I asked landowners on the list if they would make their lands available for viewing and photographing by the group. And there was such a generous outpouring, about 60 people. Probably we have over 100,000 acres of land out there that was available to those original photographers to go out and photograph on. And most of us went to at least one or two residents. In August, we realized that it was too big, the area that we delineated. It encompasses the headwaters of the Galisteo River all the way out to the Rio Grande, where it meets the Rio Grande on Santo Domingo lands, and from Arroyo Hondo El Dorado area, including down to the south, the Ortiz and San Pedro Mountains. It's about 760 square miles. And we decided to open it up by invitation to other very renowned photographers that live in Santa Fe and Santa Fe County. And we asked 51, we sent out an invitation letter to 51 of them. And the show is a result of those photographers who had the time and willingness to participate. And everyone has done it as a benefit and to the community. It's our gift, our thank you to this community that we love and this area that we're privileged to live in. And the artwork in the show will be for sale, but 50% of a special edition print of each image that's on the wall is going to charity for grassroots organizations such as Johnny's that are working on this issue. For instance, Johnny's work, it doesn't just help people here, what he's done. It's helping people throughout the West and other communities. A lot of what we're doing also is going out to the East Coast, to New York and Pennsylvania, and communities are facing the same thing there.
I think it's really worth mentioning that this is a nationwide situation and that there is some real organizing among people in all different states in the West and beyond.
Yes, and I think because the industry has been exempted from so many federal regulations, that will be up to people and residents in their communities to do what we did here, which was to network directly with your county commissioners and your elected officials and staff, get to know them on a first-name basis, and work together in an open, transparent way to create zoning to regulate and to tell industry what you want and where you want it in your communities. And that's what Santa Fe County residents have done with our county officials and the support of the state.
Are you keeping an eye, Johnny, on the national level? In other words, Cheney's out, Obama and Biden are in. Will these regulations be likely to change or be reviewed at this point?
That's an interesting question. When on Obama's website, when he was running as president, there was parts in there about opening up certain shell plays with reducing the amount of boundaries and making the access and entry much easier. So it's something to bear
access
watching.
Access and entry to
more drilling,
mm-hmm.
into for shell plays. But
Shale, right.
Yep. But I think what's going to probably happen is he's going to take more of a composite view and balance these things out with alternative energies and a green energy economy. I don't think it's going to be like, obviously it can't be like it was under Bush Cheney.
Being exempt from things like the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and the community right to know it seems like a national outrage.
Well, I think you hit on it earlier that nationally you're seeing organizations pop up all over the place. And there's backlash up in the Delaware, even the New York water basin, where I didn't know this, but they were wanting to drill into their water supply, their water area, and New York receives its water without filtration or cleanup. And so when they went out and
it's said, amazing. It's really good water, too.
Right. And so now when they said, well, we're going to get, we project, the we being the company, project this X amount of billions of dollars will come of this, and X amount go to places like New York. But then they went in and said, well, if we have to treat the water and do the remedial work, it bounces out to zero, and we're back to where we began, but we have damaged water. Right now we have something pristine.
Right.
And you're seeing all these, it's just phenomenal how many community organizations have popped up. And I think a lot of that has to do with, at the presidential level, of community organizing. It's now become something that's not taboo. And I think that sense of service is going to be there. And ultimately, we've come to the conclusion, I think, as a nation, that we cannot just rely on our governments to take care of things.
If we I think as Obama made it very clear that even if there is a presidential administration more sympathetic to environmental concerns, it's very important for local people to really keep on it in a very active way.
Right. And then yesterday, I don't know if you're aware, but Obama administration put a hold on all federal Bush orders that were just going to open up everything.
Right.
And so it's just like, he said, no, and we're stopping. And that is great because now it gives you time.
Day one.
There you go. You have to have the transparency, a process for open review and public input. And they already up in Utah, where they were trying to open up some pristine areas, had a court upheld and rolled that back against Bush, which was amazing.
Johnny McCoo is co-founder of Drilling Santa Fe, which is on the web at drillingsantafe.com, and he's the executive director of Common Ground United, which is on the web at commongroundunited.org, and Linda Spear is the producer of the Galisteo Basin Photography Project, which is on the web. It'll go up tomorrow, galisteobasinphotoproject.com, and once again, the opening is tomorrow, Friday, January 23rd, from 5 to 7, at the Photo Eye Gallery at 376A Garcia Street, right here in Santa Fe. The phone number over there is 988-5152. And we want to thank you both so much for being here. And what we haven't talked about is how gorgeous these photographs are, but I guess people can go there and see it for themselves.
We hope the community will enjoy them. The project is dedicated to them.
And also all legislators and people who are working the legislative session of 2009 are certainly more than encouraged to go. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break right now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the film Who Does She Think She Is? Stay tuned to KSFR.